It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study in the Bible has taken us to the book of Ephesians, and last time we left off with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 7. Now, if you remember, I was speaking about Hebrews 10:25. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Well, when we stopped our study last time, I left off with that verse, and I made mention at the conclusion of the study that the one who was listening who had never trusted Christ as Savior could be saved and become a member of the body of Christ. I'm speaking of Jesus Christ himself. You see, the Bible speaks of those who are members of the body of Christ. That would be those people who have trusted him as Lord and Savior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15, it says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" In other words, when we get saved, we become part of him. We receive him as Lord and Savior, but there's so much more that takes place when we get saved. It's not only that we escape the second death, and that is the lake of fire. It's not only that we escape hell. It's because that we love Christ, and it's because that you know that we have so much in this life that we could be doing for the Lord. And once we start thinking of these things, there's so much more to be gained by trusting Jesus Christ other than not going to a devil's hell. There's so much more. We go to heaven, of course, but it's such a great privilege to be able to serve Jesus Christ as part of his family. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30 says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." We become part of him once we trust him. Once we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, we gain so much by knowing him as Lord and Savior. And if you've never trusted him, if you're that person I was speaking to at the end of the last study that we had, may I invite you to trust him right now as your Lord and Savior. "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. Lord, I've decided to go your way instead of my way because, Lord, I know I couldn't go to heaven my way. I want to go your way. Lord, forgive me. Please come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior." If you'll pray a prayer like that, now the prayer is not going to save you. It's what's in your heart. It's what you pray to the Lord. It's what you believe. It's what you've said to the Lord, trusting him as your Lord and Savior. When I say the prayer won't save you, once again, it's what Jesus Christ can do for you. He's the one who can save you. He's the one who saves. You're just acknowledging to him when you pray that you're receiving him. You're receiving what he has told you in his word, that he is willing to save you. He's willing to come into your heart and make it possible for you to go to heaven. He's willing to save you right now. Call upon him today. Now, as we left off last time in our study, Hebrews 10:25 once again says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Now, as we talked the last time, I was speaking about the word "ye" in verse 7. "Be not ye, therefore, partakers with them." The word "ye," well, who's it speaking to? I believe it's speaking to those people in the local church at Ephesus. But I believe it's also speaking to you and I today, those people in us who name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I left off with verse 7 the last time, and I just read that. And as we look on, let me say this, that local churches, and that's what I want to speak to you about for a few minutes here. Local churches are to be made up of born-again, baptized believers. This will be those people who have trusted Jesus as Savior. And Jesus gave the prerequisite for being a member of one of his local churches. Now, some people overlook these things. It is in the Word of God. Some people really do not think it's important to belong to a local church, but God says it is. Jesus says it is. He left marching orders, if you would, And he's given us an outline. I remind you once again that local churches are made up of born-again, baptized believers, those people who have trusted Jesus as Savior. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we read about Jesus and what he said. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them." Well, who are them? It's the 11 disciples, according to verse 16 of Matthew 28. "He spoke to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Well, how could Jesus make a statement such as this? The statement he made is really understandable when you know who Jesus is. He says, "All power is given unto me." Matthew 1:23 tells us who he is. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. You see, Jesus has all power because he is God. The Bible tells us that in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Well, how could he say all power is given unto him in heaven and earth? John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, what, who does Matthew 1:23 tell us that Jesus is? He's God. Verse 2 of John chapter 1 goes on to say, "The same was in the beginning with God." Verse 3, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men." Well, let me remind you that John chapter 1 and verse 14 reinforces what we read in John chapter 1 here, and it actually tells us who the Word is. Once again, the Word is God, we know that. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, who's John speaking of here? John is speaking of the one that he and the other apostles walked with. He's talking about the one that they beheld his glory, the glory as of only begotten of the Father. Now, who's the only begotten of the Father? God said he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who's the only begotten of the Father? Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh. How can Jesus Christ claim all of these things to be able to do? It says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. He is the Creator. He's God. The Bible says that he was made flesh. And again, in Matthew 1:23, it tells us that Emmanuel, and that is being interpreted, God with us. Jesus is God, and Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the Creator of all things created. He's also the one who gives life. John 1:3 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And Jesus gives life, according to verse 4 of John 1. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." He not only gave physical life to Adam and Eve, he also gave them eternal life when he provided coats of skins and clothed them. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21 talks about these coats of skins that God made and gave to them. He also has power to give eternal life to all who will call on him to save. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Just as he saved Adam and Eve in the garden, by providing those coats of skins, he provided his Son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ came and lived, and he lived a perfect, sinless life. And then he laid down his life. He gave his life for those of us who trust him as Lord and Savior. But it goes further than that. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. He died so that anyone could go to heaven. He died for the whole world, that anyone could call upon him and be saved. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus Christ, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that people of this world could be saved. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that you and I have the privilege to save people, of going through his word that we're going through right now. He gave us the privilege of being able to open his book, the Bible, the King James Bible, and read and study from his book, his words, and to understand more about Jesus Christ, about God the Father, about the things that He wants us to do as saved people, and the thing that He wants an unsaved person to do, and that is to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. We see Jesus Christ not only has the power to give eternal life, He also has the power to keep the saved person safe for all eternity. In John 10:28, it says there, "And I give unto them." This is Jesus speaking, by the way. Can Jesus lie? Of course not. He said, "I give unto them eternal life." The people who trust Him, in other words, "and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." This is talking about saved people. Saved people are secure in the Lord. No one can take them out of the hand of Jesus Christ. Why? He is God. He's the Savior. And we keep reading in the Word of God, and not only does Jesus have us in His hands, the Father has His hands over the hands of Jesus. No one can get to us. The devil can't get to us because we're saved forever. Nothing can harm us in the sense that nothing can take our salvation from us. Now, we can be harmed in this life, of course. We can be killed. Something can happen to us physically. But nothing can touch my soul because Jesus Christ has saved me forever. I am never going to perish. In other words, I will never go to hell. I have Jesus Christ as my Lord. He is my life. Remember, the Bible tells us that life is in the blood. And Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross of Calvary. He gave His blood, life-giving blood, on the cross of Calvary. If you would, I've had a transfusion. I've had the blood of Christ. I've taken the blood of Christ, and I've taken Him as my Lord and Savior. When I did that, I received what He did for me on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood, and that transfusion of His blood came to me. You say, "You're trying to tell me that you have the blood of Jesus Christ flowing in your veins." Well, it's the same as, because I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to see Jesus Christ one day. And because I have trusted Him as Lord and Savior, I have nothing to fear in this life. I want you to keep in mind something else as I'm speaking about the Lord's local church. Those people who gather together to praise the Lord, worship together, and then go out to serve the Lord. These are the people I'm speaking of, the local church. Now, I remind you that we're looking, and I want you to understand the importance of belonging to a biblical local church congregation. Remember the ye of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 7, the ye is speaking to those people at Ephesus in that local church, and He's speaking to us today, and He wants us to understand the importance of belonging to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, preaching local church. Now, we started reading in Matthew chapter 28 about the way that Jesus Christ has spoken to us today as saved people and talking to us about belonging to a local church. And next time, we want to continue in Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read some more verses, but remember, as we study through the book of Ephesians, God is speaking to each of us. God is speaking not only to the saved, but He's speaking to the unsaved. He's speaking to us as saved people, and He's giving us something that we can look to and understand what He has for us as saved people. May the Lord bless you richly.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.